It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With a relentless march of bad, or at least concerning, news, it can feel like the apocalypse is just around the corner. A new course at the University of Iowa is leaning in on that. It's called Art at the End of the World, and we'll find out more about it later this hour. But first, in spite of some of that bad news, in spite of colony collapse disorder and other challenges facing honeybees and other pollinators, more people than ever want to get involved in backyard beekeeping. Now, there's a new way for Iowa beekeepers to become master beekeepers through a program called Great Plains Master Beekeeping. Before this program, Iowa beekeepers had to seek master certification outside the region. We're going to find out about the program and talk about some beekeeping basics. With me is Sheldon Brummel. He is the Great Plains Master Beekeeping Project Coordinator and works in the Department of Entomology at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Hello, Sheldon.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Well, good. Thank you for being here. Julia McGuire is also here, a Great Plains Master Beekeeper instructor and student and coordinator for the Des Moines Backyard Beekeepers. Hello, Julia.
Hello there.
Thank you for being here. And Julia, I want to start with you because you worked really hard to bring this program to our region. What was the need that you identified?
The need I identified was my own. I'm trying to solve my own problems here. Because just like you said, it's pretty difficult here in the Midwest for me to go get my master beekeeping certification.
All right.
So for me, I just wanted to be able to stay here. It's just easier, travels less, time commitments less. But I want it to be accessible to everybody. I know I'm not the only person in this situation.
And Julia, tell us a little bit about your situation. You've been a beekeeper since 2011, right?
Correct. I have. I started out taking over my daughter's beehives. She was a youth beekeeping scholarship student, I think in 2008 or 9. And then when she left and went away, she grew up and went to college. We still had bees here in the backyard. And so for me, not having taken a class, needing to go find some extra support, what was available at the time was pretty sparse. So that's kind of where the coordinating the Backyard Beekeepers Club came from.
All right. And what made you want to become a master beekeeper? What about that makes a difference to you?
That's a great question. So first, I just don't think you ever quit learning. There's just always something new to learn. And I also wanted to have, it's a special distinction. And I think I'd like something to show for that.
All right. Well, Sheldon, I want to bring you into the conversation as well. Tell me a little bit about how you connected with Julia and this program came about.
So this program started in April. We launched the website. We're under a grant from the USDA for beginner farmers, basically. And so this grant has helped us build kind of the program basics and the structure. And we're headquartered basically out of UNL here at the University of Nebraska Bee Lab. And so with the help of Dr. Judy Woosmart, we wrote this grant and we got our funding. And so basically the whole purpose of the grant is to create this kind of network throughout the Great Plains Midwest region. And basically there's a huge upswell of new beekeepers. And there's even been a few from when the first kind of upswell happened back in 2003 when colony collapse was happening. So we're getting kind of the semi-experienced and then the new beekeepers, and there's a huge increase in those. So this program is kind of trying to address those knowledge gaps that people are starting to see, because the last thing we want to happen is someone to get bees to think that it's this, I dump insects in a box and then I get free honey for the rest of my life kind of thing. It's a little bit more involved than that. And so it requires this training. And so this program kind of builds on those three facets of beekeeping, which is you're going to have to volunteer and be associated with an association and other beekeepers, because that's where you learn from. You need to take coursework, and that's what we require as well. And then the other part of our master beekeeping program that makes it unique is you have to have field training. So you actually have to show that you know what you're doing and you've actually handled bees. You don't just know the book knowledge and stuff. So those are kind of our three tenets of training out of this program. And I got in touch with Julia through the website. She went to our instructor course certification and that's how we vet people who are coming into the program who want to teach more courses, because that's where the Midwest is really lacking, is in that intermediate and those beginner courses. There might be people teaching them, but they, if they go through this program, we actually evaluate and make sure that they're teaching scientifically vetted principles. And that's kind of why the university is staunchly behind this program, is because it's science. We try to do scientifically vetted principles in all of our coursework.
Well, and Julia had mentioned that if you wanted to become a master beekeeper before, you had to leave the region, which of course can be expensive travel wise. But also there's another problem with that, because not all regions are the same. So is that part of the point here, Sheldon, that,
yeah, exactly,
that we're talking about a different kind of climate and different kinds of challenges?
Absolutely. If you take training in other states, that training can be quite similar to what you have here in the Midwest, but there's definitely a Midwest flavor as far as, I know I was just listening to that weather report. You get sunny one day and you can have snow the next. And so that's really hard on the bees, and you have to do different management techniques when you're doing temperate climate beekeeping versus subtropical, like down in Florida, or even different management techniques if you're way farther north. So we're trying to address all of those different, beekeeping challenges, because we're partnered with both Wyoming, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri. So there's a huge amount of different terrain there. And so we try to address those local beekeepers and their situations, and try to build that network of people who can help teach people that type of beekeeping for those areas.
And if people want to get involved, how do they go about it? Because, I'm sure there are people listening who think, well, that sounds exciting, but I don't want to drive to Nebraska either. How do people take these courses?
Yeah, so we're building more courses every day. Like I said, we've only been around for less than a year, so the courses are obviously still getting there, but we're adding more every single day. And as more people start to hear about the program, I think we're going to be really taking off quite quickly.
But on our website, we have a tab that has courses on there.
You know what, Sheldon? We've just having a little bit of a hard time hearing you there. You were talking about...
Sorry.
Oh, there you go. On the website, tell us more.
Yeah, so on the website, there's a course tab, and you can filter it by the different states that we're partnered with, and it'll show you what courses are offered in your state. So Julia's course right now is offered when you click on Iowa. And then we have a bunch of different ones through Nebraska that myself and UNLB Lab, Dr. Judy Woosmart, are teaching this year for our UNL classes. And then we've got other ones throughout the state and down in Missouri and Kansas as well.
All
right. They're all over the place. We're just building more as we grow the program.
And when people want to get involved, it sounds like you also kind of have a rolling schedule. So even if something just started, it may not be too late.
Exactly. Yeah. I would always say start at the beginning. So year one courses is usually what they're going to be titled, or beginning beekeeping courses. And try to look for one that's certified through GPMB, just so you can get started. Basically, you would enroll in the program, you take a course, and then after that course, you actually go on the website and self-report that you took it, and then that'll count as your education credits. Because the way you move through the course is you have to get those education, volunteer, and field experience, and then you just claim those. You meet those certain gate criteria, and then you can go from an apprentice to a journeyman to a master, and then you do a quick project, and then you're a certified master. And when you get that to that role, when you get the certified master accreditation, you actually get the Great Plains Master Beekeeping teaching materials so that you can turn around and create more coursework. Because that's the whole point of this program, is to give more classes and more courses and more education to more beekeepers.
Well, and as Julia was saying, she never stops learning. So the interest in learning more is one of the things driving her. But from your perspective, Sheldon, what does it mean to get that certification to be a master beekeeper? How does that benefit you?
Well, not only do you get all that different coursework that's been created, so you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel. If you're an educator, I know when I have to create more lectures or more activities, sometimes it's tough to come up with things, or sometimes you might have a strength in one area and not another. Because we have this network that we're creating, we not only have all the answers, and when you get to that that certified position, you have access to all those resources, but you also have this network of people who can help you. And also you are now able to take more advanced courses because there's more people who are certified and advanced and they are offering courses. So when you get into the really technical stuff, rearing queens, doing commercial pollination, a lot of those more technical aspects, we're trying to offer those things because right now there's like very, very few of those offered. So as we get more master beekeepers, we'll get more of those advanced courses that people are really craving. There's a lot of beginning beekeeping courses, but the intermediate and the advanced level stuff is still in its infancy, and we're trying to build those by getting more people in the program.
All right. Well, and Julia, you're a perfect example of this. So you are not just a student in this new program. You're also an instructor. What will you be teaching?
Yep. So right now I'm teaching, I do exploratory beekeeping for people who are just interested and they're not sure that they want to jump into beekeeping. And then I teach beginning beekeeping. Just had our first class this week. And the hope is exactly what Sheldon said, because this is what I experienced. Once you get past that beginning beekeeping course, what's out there for you, right? And so as the coordinator for the, you know, Backyard Beekeepers Club, that's the kind of stuff that we get every year, you know, topics, just like I heard, you know, people ask about commercial pollination. People ask about queen rearing and where can I turn? So that's where I think this program really gets a lot of value.
All right.
We're just trying to be responsive to the community.
All right. Well, Julia, stay with us because I want to talk more about that community of backyard beekeepers in Iowa. Julia McGuire, Great Plains Master Beekeeper Instructor and Student and Coordinator for the Des Moines Backyard Beekeepers. And Sheldon Brummel, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Sheldon Brummel is the Great Plains Master Beekeeping Project Coordinator. He works with the Department of Entomology at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. We're talking about a new program for beekeepers in Iowa and the surrounding states. It's called Great Plains Master Beekeeping. And you can find out more about the program online at gpmb.unl.edu. A lot of education opportunities for people who are interested in beekeeping there. And coming up in just a moment, we'll bring Iowa State apiarist into the conversation. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to find out about a new course at the University of Iowa that's called Art at the End of the World. But right now, we are talking about beekeeping in Iowa. There's a new program called the Great Plains Master Beekeeping Program, an opportunity for Iowa beekeepers and those in nearby states to get certified as master beekeepers in this region, something that hasn't been available before. Again, if you want to find out more about that program, you can go to gpmb.unl.edu. And with me, Julia McGuire. She is a Great Plains Master Beekeeper instructor and student and coordinator for the Des Moines Backyard Beekeepers and one of the people who agitated for bringing this program to the state. And also with us now is Andrew Joseph, Iowa's state apiarist. Andrew, hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today. And although I've known for a long time that we have an apiarist, I'm sure that you still get people who are surprised to learn that we have a state apiarist in Iowa. Can you briefly tell us what your role is?
Sure. Well, I work for the Department of Agriculture, so there's a big regulatory component in that. We make sure that people aren't selling equipment that may be infected with diseases or parasites. We try to limit the amount that happens. And then there are some interstate movement requirements as well that trigger inspection work and health certification, such as almond pollination, which is where the majority of the Iowa bee colonies actually are sitting right now, is out in California pollinating almonds. We also do a large part of education. So what your topic today is with the master beekeeping work and all of this, I'm pretty stoked about all of this because bees are kind of unique in agriculture in that they don't stay on your own property. And since they're leaving property and they're mixing out in the environment, they're susceptible to not just the management of their own beekeeper and the relationship there, but also what they're coming in contact with across the fence line. So you can do everything you can as a beekeeper to keep them healthy, but if you have neighbors that aren't doing a very good job with their management, your bees are susceptible. So education plays a huge part in limiting the amount of spread of disease and parasites like varroa mites. So we do a large part of education, a lot of public speaking, teach beekeeping courses as well. So I enjoy what I get to do.
I am a little bit surprised. It seems a little bit counterintuitive that beekeeping has had a real upsurge in interest in the last decade or so, given all of the bad news that we hear about colony collapse disorder and other challenges facing bees. Andrew, why do you think people are so excited about it right now?
I couldn't agree more. It's almost inversely proportionate, right? The more doom and gloom you hear, the more people flock to beekeeping. And it's kind of a wild ride for a lot of beginners because of that. You know, they're coming into this at I think what you can literally say is the hardest time in history to keep these things alive and healthy and productive. But, you know, I think a lot of people are just curious about it all. The more you hear, it kind of puts that bug in your ear, you know, and you just want to give it a try. And I think there's kind of an element now of, you know, I sense that this is doing something good for the environment, or maybe people have learned a little bit about just the importance of pollination in the foods that we eat on a local level. And so, you know, there's this notion of just, I'll put the pollinators right where I want them, and then I'm doing good in my immediate area, my community around may benefit from these. So there's just a lot of kind of, you know, miscellaneous reasons for people to get into this. So yes, there's a lot of doom and gloom, and you know, the word's out, like Sheldon said, on, you know, colony collapse disorder in Varroa and the hardships and the losses that we see every winter. But I think what that has done is actually encouraged people to get involved and see what it's all about. And you know, that's a positive. So there is some good coming out of this.
Well, and Julia, can you shed a little more light on that, given that you've organized a group of beekeepers to come together in Des Moines, the Backyard Beekeepers? You got involved at this moment in time yourself. What's the appeal?
Yeah, I think it's everything Andy said. There's a pretty easy entry into beekeeping. It's not as difficult as other lifestyle changes that you might make. I also think there is some kind of a appeal, right, when you talk to people about, you know, how you're going to help the world overall. But again, I think it's that it's fairly easy to get into as far as expenses and material. At the libraries and the internet, you know, the different courses that are available.
Give me an idea of what it takes to start up as a beekeeper. Julia, why don't you tell us about your setup when you first started?
Yep. So when we started, we got some wooden boxes that came in a kit. There's about $300. You get a package of bees, and they come in another box that was maybe, at the time, maybe $100. And then you would get a veil. So, you know, with the smoker and all that, you know, maybe $500, including the class.
Okay, so it's not like it's a free thing to start out, but fairly low as far as your startup fees there. By the way, if you are interested in being a beekeeper, if you are a backyard beekeeper, and if you have questions, you can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. Andy, I'm sure that for people who get excited about it, they may not be concerned about engaging with bees, but their neighbors might be concerned, and more people are doing this in urban environments. Does that create some challenges?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. There may have been a stereotype of an older white male rural, you know, kind of image of a beekeeper, and all of those things are kind of blown away in relatively recent years, right? We're seeing whole families, lots of women. You'll see as many women at bee meetings now as men. You see a lot of youth involved in it, so it's whole families doing this. And gosh, if you could, you know, plot a map of all of the beehives just within, say, the Des Moines city limits, I think it would be mind-blowing for most people. We've really blown away the urban versus rural beekeeping sort of conditional. So when you are keeping bees inside town and you have neighbors on top of you, there are certain things that you can do to keep that relationship a good one. A privacy fence is enormous, right? Because there's a whole element of just out of sight, out of mind. And the privacy fence gets those bees flying up and over head height. You know, say a 6-foot privacy fence, something like that. The bees are flying up in the air and they're doing their thing and they're really not being intrusive. Providing a water source is another one, right? Because bees do forage for a lot of water in town and you don't want them going to a neighbor's swimming pool or bird bath. And if you provide them an adequate water source and keep it filled in town, then your bees may prefer that and that can go a long way to maintaining relationships. And finally, you know, a pound or two of honey on the neighbor's porch around Thanksgiving time goes a long way, too, to making friends and making sure that your neighbors are actually happy and somewhat involved with your beekeeping. So we do here at the state, you know, I've got a couple publications about sort of your best management practices for urban beekeeping, and we've shared those around a good bit.
Do you feel like somebody who wants to have backyard bees in an urban area, do they need to make sure their neighbors know what's going on?
Well, that's even a controversial statement. I would want my immediate neighbors to know for sure. But again, there's the whole out of sight, out of mind and kind of component to it. But I would certainly advocate letting your next door neighbors know that you're doing this, and just kind of giving that heads up, I think, goes a long way towards them being surprised. In reality, if you're doing your due diligence as a beekeeper and you're taking care of your bees and being responsible with them, then there isn't anything for your neighbors to be concerned with. You know, you just have to get over that initial hump of, a non-beekeeper knowing that there's going to be potentially 100,000 bees across the fence line in 3 hives that are next door. You know, something like that might be sort of alarming, but in reality, after those bees are there, they become very normal, and they're not bothering neighbors. It's not like their yards are flooded with bees coming across the fence line, and, you know, no incidents occur, and you know, you can relax over time for sure. And that's what we see play out again and again. There are also ordinances. Julia was the large part of developing a bee laws website a few years ago, in which she tracked the municipal codes, anything related to beekeeping ordinances across, I believe it was our 100 largest towns across the state of Iowa. And, you know, knowing what your local codes and laws are is a very important component to this as well. You don't want to be violating any sort of municipal code and setting off triggers for your neighbors and for your local governments. You want to be doing things right and following the rules. And that's an important component to this as well.
Yeah, Julie, did you run into any ordinances when you were setting up your hives?
No, but I helped write the ordinance out here, so... So I did not have a problem with that. Now, I do have hives also on agricultural land, so I did not. But again, because I knew what I was getting into, I definitely, as an instructor, get a lot of questions about, is it legal to put bees here? And again, just trying to be responsive and solve my own problems as an instructor, that's kind of why I did the research for the cities that Andy helped me pick out.
With hives, you mentioned, Julia, it's a relatively easy thing to get going. Do you need to register those hives? Does somebody need to know that they're there?
That is voluntary. We do have a bee law that is enforceable if you were to register your hives with the state. But again, it's voluntary. So if you were to visit, I think it's driftwatch.org, you'll get to see a map. It also helps you, again, as an instructor, people are asking, should I put a hive here? Should I put a hive there? You kind of see the lay of the land, see what kind of other colonies are in place that you may be in competition with for forage. And that's all available at driftwatch.org.
All right. And Andy, what do you think the other benefits are to registering hives?
Well, as Julia said, you know, our biggest thing with the apiary registry in the state of Iowa is avoiding pesticide overlap. So it gets back to a similar sort of controversy as an urban beekeeper faces with neighbor concerns, right? You either mind your own business, keep them to yourself, or else you let your neighbors know, and that communication can go a long way to keeping them safe. So ever since about 1979, we've had this bee rule in one form or another. And it's existed to protect those bees from pesticide by letting the nearby applicators know that those hives are there. Then there's a series of rules that they follow so that they can get their spraying done But as the law stands now, at certain times of day, while allowing more busy bee flight hours to go unsprayed, right? There's a window of opportunity for the bees to fly and forage throughout the daytime where planes or helicopters or booms aren't going to be going overhead and just spraying them right out of the air. And so that can go a long way towards maintaining hives in a sort of a safe environment for the bees.
With being a beekeeper in a rural area, you mentioned pesticides. Does that create a particular challenge? I mean, there are a lot of people who believe that neonicotinoid pesticides are related to colony collapse disorder. In Iowa, do we see a lot of trouble with the colonies that are in rural areas?
Well, I can take that question, I guess. We don't see as much of an issue, at least not reported, than as what you might expect. And that doesn't mean there isn't one. We do see losses every year as beekeepers from these seed treatments, you know, in particular with corn planting, which is not considered a pesticide application. These neonic pesticides, as you mentioned, are already put on the seed inside a building somewhere, and then the seed is just planted, and you don't need an applicator's license to do that. You're just planting corn. But with certain planters and under certain conditions, some of that seed treatment coat, those pesticides, can essentially rub off through the friction of the system, and they get puffed out of the back of the planter in an air cloud. And if that dust out of the back of the planter lands on things that bees are foraging on, say nearby dandelions or water puddles, something like that, those bees can pick up trace amounts of these and end up in a harmful situation. And sometimes that will result in, you know, finding some dead bees out in front of your hive. And that doesn't get reported that much, is the thing. I fully believe that it happens on a fairly widespread level, but then there's an issue of reporting, you know, for it to be counted officially, it has to be reported to our Pesticide Bureau here at the Department of Agriculture. And, you know, we haven't really had any reportings of this, I think, in the last 2 years, if not very low number, maybe one or two. We also see pesticide exposure in later seasons, say with commonly with, say, soybean aphid control. Last year was a really low year for aphid numbers, and that helped the bees. But in the high aphid year, there's a lot of spraying that goes on, and a lot of that spraying goes on while those beans are in bloom. And those beans provide pollen and nectar for bees. And so something like the bee rule can come in as a critical component to this, so that as those bees are foraging on the beans, they're not being sprayed, you know, in that immediate point in time. So, you know, it does take some cooperation, some communication, and some finger crossing as well.
Yeah. Julia, being involved in urban beekeeping and with other Des Moines backyard beekeepers, you mentioned the startup costs to becoming a beekeeper, but there's also harvesting to be done and things like that. Do you have a sharing program with other beekeepers where you share equipment that people need?
So we don't really have anything formal, but we definitely encourage networking within our groups, within our classes, exactly for this, for what you're talking about. It is an investment for you know, purchasing an extractor, but there's also a big fun factor, I think, when you're all kind of celebrating together, because pouring your own honey is one of the most satisfying parts of being a beekeeper.
For people who are listening to this and thinking, maybe I should give it a try, Julia, make the case. Why become a backyard beekeeper?
I think you should become a backyard beekeeper because it's just something fun to do. And there are so many supportive other beekeepers. Sometimes you get into clubs and there's a little competition. And I really have yet to experience that. It's just a nice group of people.
What about you, Andy? Make the case for me.
It has been it's been a life-changing thing for me. I started off with two hives in the state of Kentucky and thought that was going to be it. I was in forestry school at the time, and it turned me in a different direction and has been endlessly fascinating. And, you know, I feel lucky to have the job that I have. I enjoy teaching beekeeping to people. It gets me excited for them. And so, you know, if I look at what it has done, it impacted my family. It moved us to a new state. We keep a couple hundred colonies of bees. I'm also a master beekeeper through Eastern Apicultural. The learning never ends, like Julia said. And, you know, I would like to share that experience with people. Most people that take these classes, I'm pretty stoked for them to get out there come spring with their new bees and experience it for the first time. And without wanting to sound sappy, it really is a joy.
Well, Andrew Joseph, thank you so much for talking with me.
My pleasure. Yeah, thanks for your interest in this.
Andrew Joseph is Iowa's state apiarist. And Julia McGuire, thank you so much.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Julia McGuire is a Great Plains Master Beekeeper instructor and student and coordinator for the Des Moines Backyard Beekeepers. We started this conversation because there's a new program available for Iowa backyard beekeepers to become master beekeepers. It's called the Great Plains Master Beekeeping Program, and you can find out more about that at gpmb.unl.edu. Coming up in a moment, art at the end of the world. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.